Truly, God is good in the church. You're on Facebook tonight. Type it in the chat. You better be a part too. We don't just watch church, do we? We participate. Amen. And so we serve such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. You know, I was thinking, I went to Cedar Point this past week with the family, and it hit me. It hit me. This is it. This is it. Summer is just about over. Now, I got to be honest, because at that point, it wasn't a bad thing. Because it hit me that I could come back next time with my wife without the kids. And that was a good thought. But it hit me that where has the time gone? And it became a striking reminder of life. It's here, and then it's gone. You know, time is a funny thing. Benjamin Franklin once said, if you love life, you ought to love time, because time is the thing that life is made of. And I want us to consider that tonight as we look at Ephesians chapter number 5 together for a few moments. And tonight I want to ask us to be introspective on some things in our lives, because time is ticking. Every second that it passes, and it cannot be retrieved again. When it comes to this aspect of time and life and how we manage things, really, the verse before, the verse that Brother Frank read tonight, provides us with a nice platform on which to look. You look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In other words, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and consider how we are using this life God has given us. And so tonight, the challenge from the Word of God is to be introspective as we look at our own selves and lives and how we are choosing. But I want you to leave tonight as well. I want you to leave inspired and emboldened to choose to make the most of the time that God has given you. So I want to look at a couple of truths tonight from the scriptures that we read. If we look again at verse number 15, the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Tonight, first of all, I'd like for us to consider this truth, that my time is short. My time is short. Psalm 90 and verse number 12 puts it this way. Psalm 90 and verse number 12, the psalmist says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. When we recognize that the time that we have on this earth, that the time that we have to live is limited. In reality, it is fairly short. It ought to affect how we live out our days. James describes it this way in James chapter 4 and verse number 14. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And in light of the reality that my time is short, in verse number 15, the Bible teaches us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, circumspectly is simply a big word that means that you and I need to live carefully. We need to live precisely. We need to live exactly. It brings to mind the image, if you've ever traveled overseas to a developing nation, in some of the poor areas of our world, a lot of times they'll have cinder block fences. And on top of these walls, I should call them, not fences, they'll have a different deterrence. Broken glass, barbed wire, things of that nature. And it's not uncommon to see a stray cat or a feral cat walk across the tops of these walls. But you watch this cat as it walks, and it is careful. It is precise. It is exact where it puts its paws, because every step matters. Every step matters. And so, recognizing that my time is short, what do? I choose to live intentionally. Because my time is short, I choose to live intentionally, circumspectly, carefully, precisely, exactly. Because just as it matters where the cat steps, it matters how we step.
Guys, we can't just saunter our way through life. Life is too short to let it mindlessly run by. Because the reality is, you will either intentionally live life, or life will unintentionally live you. The thing about life is, the older I get, the faster it goes. Can I get a witness? I was talking with one of our college and career students after church this morning. They were asking me some questions about my college. And it dawned on me as he asked these questions, I can tell you how it was 13 years ago when I graduated. I can't promise that's how it is today. And all afternoon, I'm like, 13 years? Where has it gone? But then I talked to my friend, Mr. Tooley. For those of you who don't know, Mr. Tooley holds this place together. Mr. Tooley, you're 91 years old? Sir, 91? He's been retired, and he comes and volunteers at the church, and he has for the last several decades. I guarantee you, you ask Mr. Tooley, he say it just gets faster. The thing is you will either intentionally live life, or life will unintentionally live you. And so because my time is short, we as children of the Most High King must choose to intentionally spend the life God gives us and not squander it away. As we consider this reality of I choose tonight, we need to understand first that my time is short. But I want you to see how the apostle builds on this. Verse number 16 says this, after we are commanded to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You see, as I consider this tonight, my life and how I spend it, I recognize that not only is my time short, but I also have to stop and recognize that my task is significant. That which God has created me for and that which God has given me to do is significant. My life matters. So we are instructed here in verse number 16 to redeem the time. Redeem the time has the idea to buy it up, to buy it up, to buy it up, to buy it up. It gives the picture of a man who might go to market, and he's going to market for the sole purpose of finding the good deals. He wants to gather up all of the best buys, not to miss a single opportunity. Now, it would be foolish for this man who has gone to market to buy up the best deals, to get to market, and before he gets started, take 2 hours to have coffee with a friend. Now, that's probably what I would like to do. But the problem is if you go for the deals and you spend all that time away, what might you find? That the opportunity is gone. And so we're instructed here to redeem the season, the time, the opportunity, to buy it up, to take advantage of what is in front of it, to buy it up because I have a purpose to accomplish. I have been purposed by Almighty God, and the purpose that I have been given will not get accomplished accidentally or haphazardly. So I got to buy it up. I've got to buy it up. I've got to buy it up. I give this illustration quite often, but it's the idea of the opportunity to grow in our walk with the Lord. And here's the truth. No one ever grew in the Lord by accident. No one ever grew closer to the Lord. No one ever grew more like Christ by accident. You see, as somebody who has went to Bible college and went to seminary and served a number of years as a youth pastor and now a number of years as a pastor, can I tell you, even after all of these years, do you know what doesn't happen? See, I think sometimes people get the impression that, like, if you're in the ministry or you reach a certain point in your spiritual life, like you wake up and you're like, ah, and your eyes pop open, ah, And then an angelic choir sings, "This is the day that the Lord has made. You will rejoice and be glad in it." And you say, "Yes, I will. What a beautiful morning it is." And before you can get out of bed, all of a sudden you find yourself on your knees and your Bible floats and opens its up. And all of a sudden, in dynamic reader theater fashion, the Bible begins to read itself to you. And it just washes over you. And you spend that time and you get up, and isn't it wonderful and grand? Can I tell you that happened to no one never? How do people grow in the Lord? How do people grow more like Christ? They wake up and they don't want to open their eyes, because nobody wants to open their eyes in the morning. And if you do want to open your eyes in the morning, don't come around me. But they wake up, and even though they're trying to get the eye boogers out, or whatever you call them, and even though they're trying to get the coffee ready, and even though they're trying to convince themselves, "This is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice, and I will rejoice and be glad in it," they intentionally pick up their Bible and open it and read it. They intentionally stop and spend some time with the Lord in prayer and meditate on His Word. You see, no one ever grew in their faith by accident. Nobody ever stumbled into being closer to the Lord. It doesn't happen that way. And so what do? We redeem. We buy up the opportunity. We buy it up. Because I have a purpose to accomplish, and it will not get accomplished accidentally or haphazardly. So because my task is significant, I choose to recognize my purpose. I choose to recognize that I am purposed by Almighty God. And I choose to buy up the opportunity to achieve the purpose of this season. Here, the thing about opportunity is it's often limited and fleeting. Meaning if you don't take a hold of it now, it may not be there next time. It very well may be gone. You know, for us as moms and dads, every day that rings more and more true in my heart. That this opportunity, this season that I have, that I am purposed to be a parent, is oh so fleeting. Oh so fleeting. And I'm going to turn around one day, and this season will be gone. And so I got to buy it up. I've got to buy it up while I can and intentionally recognize my purpose. Hey, young people, students, let me encourage you. Do you know what this season in your life is about? This season in your life, one of the primary purposes of this season in your life is the preparation of your mind and your heart to go out into this world and fulfill what God has created you to do. I have never known somebody who looked back on their schooling and said, "I wish I had goofed off more. I wish I had taken my studies less seriously. I mean, what was wrong with me putting all of that effort into Algebra 2? I mean, I know I had a great teacher, but what was wrong with me?" Young people, buy it up. Buy it up. Buy it up. Buy it up, because you will blink and this opportunity will be gone. Buy it up. Buy it up. Choose to recognize your purpose. What are we buying up with the time God has given us? You know, the Bible in verse 16 recognizes that the days are evil. I point out that wickedness has no place in the Christian life. Wickedness has no place in the Christian life. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, because you and I both know that if we're spending our lives buying up that, it has no place in our life. But what are we buying up? Are we buying up that which is wasteful? Are we buying up that which is empty? Spending our time on things that really don't mean anything? Are we spending our time buying up the urgent? Spending our time buying up what's truly important and what's truly significant? You know, from time to time, Christopher and I will play video games together. And you know what I find? I find that when we get to the end of the game, that very often one of us will make a statement. Boy, if I had known how important that was, it would have changed the way I played the game back here. And whenever we do it, it's always easier the second time around. Because we know what matters. Hear me, church. Hear me. Hear me, young people. You have this season to buy up what matters. Take advantage of buying up what is really important. Can I give you a little advice? If you're not sure what's really important, find somebody who's a little further in the game than you are. And they can tell you. Young people, I know you're going to find it hard to believe, but your mama and your daddy are actually really smart and wise. You see, they've been where you are. Church people, all around us, we have people we can pull on. We have the Word of God we can look to. So we spend our lives buying up what matters. We choose to buy up, redeem what matters in this season. And I must choose to live intentionally because my task is significant. I want you to see one more thing tonight before we go. You with me tonight? Say amen. Bible says, starting in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I have to recognize that my time is short, and so I choose to live intentionally. I have to recognize that my task is significant. And so I choose to recognize my purpose and redeem the time. But I want you to notice in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Not only is my time short, not only is my task significant, but I want you to see finally tonight that my today, my right now is sufficient. My today, right now, is sufficient. We are, with intentionality and purpose in mind, we are told not to be unwise, which literally means senseless, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, when you and I consider the will of the Lord, I want us to understand that it's not some grand philosophical thing that you and I can never grasp or never comprehend. Nor is the will of the Lord something for far down the future, when you're older or when you're wiser or when you're richer or when you have more time. The will of the Lord is none of those things. The will of the Lord is not a someday thing. The will of the Lord is a today thing. And so what happens? I choose to do the Lord's will. And when I choose to do the Lord's will, I am choosing to make an impact in my world. Not just someday, but today. When you and I live for God, it makes a difference. Do you really believe that? When you and I choose to live for God, it makes a difference. To live the will of God, though, I need the wisdom of God. Why it says, be not unwise. Because here's the thing, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to know how to buy up the opportunity around me to fulfill my purpose. I need wisdom to live intentionally. I need wisdom in how to love others. I need wisdom to be patient with others. I need wisdom to encourage others. I need wisdom. I need wisdom to know how to navigate difficult situations. I need wisdom to know how to choose between good and better and best. I need wisdom to walk the will of the Lord. I need wisdom. We all need wisdom. Can I give you some good news about this? God offers wisdom to those who recognize they need it. In James 1, in verse number 5, James writes, he puts it this way, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Church, hear me. My today is sufficient to make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. What God has given me today is sufficient to live the will of the Lord. And when we choose to be intentional about our purpose, we get to live impactful lives for the glory of God. You know who our great example of this is? Our great example of this is the one who is our great example for everything. The Lord Jesus Christ. As far as we can understand, the Lord Jesus Christ lived on this earth roughly 33.5 years. And as I look at the Lord Jesus Christ and how he lived his earthly life, he truly did choose to be intentional. He truly did choose to be purposed. He truly was impactful. He lived 33.5 years on this earth, but he finished the work that God had given him to do. He finished the work. Very early on, we see in Scripture that Jesus knew he must be about his Father's business. And so, young people, I encourage you tonight, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be about your Father's business. But I look at the life of Jesus, knowing that he needed to accomplish the salvation of all mankind, knowing that he had 33.5 years in which to get it all in. He was never rushed. Now that's striking because I am always rushed. Always. Can I get a witness? I mean, you can relate, I think. But Jesus was never rushed. Jesus lived a very balanced life. You read the Gospels and Jesus did work. And Jesus did minister. And Jesus did love people and sacrifice and gave himself for people. But we also see a number of instances where Jesus rested, where Jesus broke away and he rested. We see a number of instances where Jesus broke away and gathered with friends and family for meals to enjoy fellowship and company. We see time when Jesus paused his ministry to receive little children. We see times when Jesus paused his outward workings to take time to come apart and pray to the Heavenly Father. Jesus had 33.5 years to accomplish all that the Father had given him, and he did it, and he did it in a balanced way. I want to ask you tonight, introspective, because time, I mean every second that passes is the second that's passed. We don't ever get it back. I'm asking tonight, how are we living our life? Are we choosing? Are we really choosing to live intentionally? I got good news. You can choose to live intentionally. Life doesn't have to live you. You can choose to live life. Spending the life God gives you, not squandering it away. Are we really choosing to live intentionally? Are we really choosing to live purpose, buying up the opportunity while we can? Are we really choosing to live impactfully, recognizing that my doing the will of the Lord today makes an impact on my world? Church, if not, it's time to choose. It's time to choose. Choose. If you're here tonight, and as we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, earlier we sang some of those songs about grace that is greater than all our sin. We sang about Jesus coming again. We sang about I love to tell the story. It is the story of God's love. God's love, that God loved us so much that since you and I could not come to Him, our sin separates us from a holy God. Since you and I could not come to Him, He came to us. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that old story we sang about a while ago is the reality that because the wage, the penalty, the consequence of my sin is death, and the consequence of your sin is death as well. The Bible teaches that Jesus died. He died on an old rugged cross. He shed his blood that we might have the opportunity to receive his life. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that the Lord loves us so much that he extends this salvation, this life, through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to whosoever will. Whosoever will may come. There has never been one so good that they did not need salvation through Jesus Christ. There has never been one so bad that his blood did not have the power to save. As we close out our service tonight, I want to extend that invitation to you. You are here tonight and you don't know for sure that if you were to die today, as unlikely as that may be, that you would go to heaven because not because you're a part of a church and not because you do good things and not because you give to charity, but because your sins are forgiven because you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have any question about that, before you leave this campus tonight, I beg you to talk to me. To talk to any of the men you've seen on the platform, any of our teachers in our Christian school. We would love nothing more than for you tonight to say, I chose to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior.